Hey, it's me, Richie T, and joining me from location to be determined in just a minute, it's Josh from 21 Pilots. Thanks for joining me, man.
Oh, thank you. I'm on the corner of Cook and 16th Avenue in Denver, really close to some venue that I'm playing tonight.
Oh, that's a great place, my friend. The 16th and, yeah. 16th and Cook is... that's the restaurant district of Denver, right?
Oh, man, it's... I barely know that I'm in Denver, so to go any further than that, that'd be hard for me to determine.
That's all right. I actually have no idea where that is, except that 16th Street is like the big place, right? That's like the big mall street.
I just know that I just walk out of the venue and got a little cup of coffee, and I'm gonna go back.
let me ask you this: Are you an ice cream person?
Ice cream?
Yeah. Do you like yourself some ice cream?
Dude, I would definitely eat some ice cream for sure.
There is a place on that road that you're on. I'm not sure which way from where you're at because I don't really know exactly where you're at. But there's a place called Little. Yeah. I want to say it's like Little Man Ice Cream or Little Giant or something. Little something. Ooh. And the
I bet if I search ice cream on my phone, it probably that the whole thing will probably come up.
Yeah. And the ice cream shop is made to look like one of those old timey. Like milk jugs, like where they'd milk the cow and then they'd pour it into the big metal thing. That's what the ice cream shop looks like.
Oh, that's actually incredible.
Yeah, take the boys from just grab Tyler and just head over to, I think it's Little Man. In fact, you know what? I'm in front of the internet. Why am I pretending like I can't look it up?
Dude, I'll have to for sure do that.
You'll just have to. Sorry, everyone in Denver, the show's going to be postponed tonight. Yeah, it's called Little Man Ice Cream. And it's 2620 16th Street in Denver.
No way. So yeah. I'm really close.
You got to be. You have to go.
That's awesome.
You have to go like over the river or something like that. But I don't think we called to talk about ice cream, but we can.
yeah. I mean, I'll talk about whatever. That's why I'm on the phone.
Yeah. You're like, well, we got time till the show starts tonight, and this is part of what I do, so I'll go ahead and do it. How's the tour been so far?
Man, it's been awesome. This is our, I'd say it's one of our first, like real headlining tours that we've done.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, that as Tyler and I kind of starting out in our home state and kind of how we started is kind of like we're used to playing in front of hardly anybody. But we would kind of like, the strategy was to kind of like play shows with some other bands in our home state to try and like, you know, get people to come or whatever. And it's funny because, like, I think even at the very entry level of playing in a band, these bands are just like, I want to be, you know, we want to be the headliners of this show, and being the play last is the best. And I think that, like, when we really thought about it, we're just like, well, that's not true, because if nobody knows who you are, then everyone's going to be gone by the time you play.
Right.
So we would kind of, like, intentionally play, like, you know, in the middle of the day or whatever, if it's like a festival type thing, so that, you know, and we would usually a lot of times have, like, kind of, like, the most people there just because... you know, we're playing before other people that they wanted to see, and that's kind of naturally how it worked out. So, you know, about a year ago when we kind of, like, really did kind of, you know, branch out of our home state and play some other shows, and we were, like, the last band, we were both terrified because we were just like, well, who's going to come see us? And I think ever since then, it's like we've been surprised at how many people are coming. And so these shows have been really cool, and we've been able to add a little bit of production to the show, and we kind of, Tyler and I have kind of put a lot of work into trying to make it a little bit more theatrical and a little different than what we've been doing, you know, the past year and a half. And that's been really fun for me, too.
How so? How are you making it a little more theatrical?
Well, I think with the incorporation of a couple things, one is the incorporation of lighting.
Okay.
We've got our really good friend Mark, who's been on the road with us really since like the beginning doing video stuff, has kind of stepped over and been doing lighting for us. And that's something that's, I think, a huge tool that we've all kind of come together and talked about exactly what it is that we wanted.
You're like, it was really difficult before. It was difficult before because we played with the lights off and people couldn't really, you know, get into it with no lighting. It's easier to play the instruments with lights on, that kind of thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that helps, having lights on the instruments and everything.
No, I get what you're saying, though, because there is that every bit of that dynamic of, like, okay, this is an extra step. This is a step up.
Yeah, and even, and I think even utilizing some of that, where we can kind of sit down with him and say, listen, you know, a lot of times you'll see a show, and a band will come out, and everything's kind of like really backlit and mysterious, and then halfway through the first song, like, everything's fully exposed and lit up and everything. So we're kind of like, what if we extended the kind of like backlit, dark, a little bit ominous, for a little bit, you know, four or five songs, and then turn the lights on. And it's kind of like this almost uncomfortable environment where it's like everything's dark for a while, making kind of the reveal of everything a little bit more of a build up and anticipation. So we've been trying to, you know, just even kind of like philosophies like that on lighting, we've been kind of trying to utilize, and then even kind of like changing clothes throughout the set, or, you know, adding
on stage. Are you changing clothes on stage? That's a whole different kind of element.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like now we got a really crazy show. It's a lot of times 18 and up. So
I love it.
No, off stage, but
off stage. Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, I'd be fine with doing it on stage, too.
It's like a progressive show. That's how you keep people sticking around till the end of your show, right? You're like, hey, I'm starting off in a parka. Don't know what I'm going to end with. Boop-a-doo.
Exactly. You don't know. Yeah. We'll find out.
You don't know what I got under this. Whoa.
Could be nothing. Could be more stuff. Yeah. We don't know.
And in my case, if I got down to nothing, it would be... absolutely nothing. Nothing that anyone would want to ever see. You guys are from Ohio, which I think is kind of cool. I lived in Ohio for a little while. And recently, I lived up in Cleveland, in the Cleveland area.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
And was talking recently with Richard Patrick of Filter. And talking about about Ohio and kind of the rock scene. And he kind of seemed to be a little down on it. Do you have a sort of a different point of view?
I think that I've been inspired by a lot of musicians in Ohio, and I've hung out with a lot of really great musicians, and there are some good bands that have come out of Ohio, and there are good bands that are still in Ohio waiting to be discovered, I think. And you're from Cleveland. I'm from Columbus, and I view Columbus as a very you probably get this a lot too, but a lot of people say like, oh, Ohio, you know, you got cornfields and cows everywhere, huh? And I'm just like...
yeah, nope.
There are a lot of those in Ohio, but in Columbus, it's a very small, big city, I look at it as. And, mm-hmm. and not only that, but I think it's a very creative community, whether it's like, you know, art or music or just kind of like writing, it's every... I feel like everybody that I come in contact with in Columbus is very artistic in some way, and so I think that I'm going to stand by Columbus and the music there and the art that comes from there, and I'm proud to be from there, and I still live there.
Tell me some of the bands that are in the Columbus area that you feel like we should be looking out for.
There's around Columbus area, and then there's kind of like Cincinnati area as well.
Okay.
I'll say some of those bands, like some of the bands that I, because I'm not really from Columbus, or I'm not really in Columbus a lot, it's been hard to keep up, and some of them have kind of like faded out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But a band that that I actually played with for a while was like one of my favorite bands, like as I was kind of like a teenager, and then I ended up playing with them for about a year. But a band called House of Heroes. Okay. It's kind of I describe it as like Foo Fighters meets Queen, kind of.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, if you check it out, I think you'll really like them a lot.
How did your band, 21 Pilots? How did you guys get together?
That's a good question. A lot of times when people ask me that, I usually just kind of like make up something totally ridiculous, just because it's like more often than not going to be a better story than the way that we actually met. But right. I will tell you the truth of how we met.
Okay, good.
So, at the time that Tyler and I met, we were both actually, like, playing music with other guys and kind of doing our own separate thing. And,
so you guys cheated with each other.
on our other dudes. It was kind of, I mean, I guess it was kind of like first an emotional thing, and then it became a real, I can't joke around about that stuff when it's a two-piece band.
He held me one night after a show, and I knew that we...
And I knew when I looked into his eyes. So what happened is we had a mutual friend. I was playing music at the time in that same band that I just told you about.
Uh-huh.
And he was playing playing his own thing as 21 Pilots with a couple other different guys. And so I went to a show one night, and I kind of like had no idea like what it was. And I watched Tyler and these other two dudes on stage playing, and I was like, oh my God, I was blown away. And I was like, this is so good. And I loved everything about it except for one thing. And that's that I wasn't on stage playing drums.
Yeah.
So that night, after the show, I met up with Tyler, and I was like, dude, just love the show. He's like, oh, I know who you are. You know, you're playing with, so-and-so, and you played with these guys. And so we talked for a couple minutes. We're like, we got to hang out like this week or whatever, which is always said but never followed through.
Sure, yeah, dude, we should totally do something. You know, yeah, you bet. Let's do something. That sounds great. Yeah. Okay, we'll do something.
Yeah, okay, cool. See you later. We'll do something later, man, definitely. But sure enough, like 3 days later, we got together and we actually, we hung out all day and like stayed up all night talking about just the craziest, visions and ideas that we had musically. And it was kind of like from that night, we were just like, man, I want to play music together. But it wasn't until almost exactly a year after that conversation did things kind of line up and work out for us to play together.
So it's probably a little bit messy. No. I can tell it's a little bit messy because of the way you're kind of being evasive around it, but there were other guys in the band, Nick and Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And so was it just we're going a different direction and Tyler took with him the name and you kind of joined up with that, or what can you talk about there?
Yeah, it wasn't a messy situation. It actually worked out really nicely. The mutual friend that we had was Chris. The drummer at the time, and I had known him for years, and he was playing music with Tyler, so he's like, come to the show, and so I guess the weirdest part about it was that like Tyler and I would get together and hang out and always talk about playing music together, while he was still in it. So it kind of was like an almost cheating thing, because in a band sometimes it is like, you've got loyalty to each other, and these are your brothers, and when you talk about, like, going and doing something with somebody else, it's almost like you're, like, cheating on your girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
So, we were kind of, like, just, we would talk about that for a year. And then it kind of just, like, for Chris, it was at this, like, time of the band where it was still a brand-new baby band, but it was at the point where it was, like, okay, now we need to be able to be flexible with our time, so if we need to go travel somewhere, we can just do it, and it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
For him, it was kind of some of these like college loans were coming up, and he had a full time job, and it was just like, he's like, I'm on the brink of like where this band is, but like I can play weekend shows, but if there's stuff during the weekend, I can't do it. And so he finally came to the conclusion. He's kind of like, I think I thought about it a lot, and I think that just my time with this is done, and I've got other priorities that I need to do, and
listens, guys, it's not you guys, it's me, it's not you guys,
yeah,
it's me.
So yeah, he wasn't kicked out at all. It was kind of like that. It was like, yeah, it's not you guys, it's me. And he actually approached me and was like, would you want to, be the replacement? I'm like, oh, you mean like, oh yeah, I guess so, I could do that, so,
I mean, I had never really thought about it, but I guess or whatever, maybe, or, it'd be cool, kind of, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, why not? Yeah, I'll learn some of these parts or whatever. So it was really cool, and, that was probably 2010 or 11, early 2011, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played with Nick for a little while, and then he also... just other things came up in his life, and he was just like, I'm gonna go do this other stuff, and that was that. So
no bad
and,
blood.
But, it's weird. It's like before Tyler and I even played music together at all, we kind of talked about just like doing a two-piece kind of thing, and like experimenting with doing stuff that just like maybe that people haven't seen before. And we talked about like stunts even that we're just now just able to do. And so it's really cool. And we, you know, we got other stuff like plan for the future. And I think that's always the way to do it, is kind of plan ahead and have things in mind and be thinking and be creative and try and do things that you haven't seen before. And they might work and they might not, but
I want to talk about the name, because I thought that was cool. I actually get the reference from Arthur Miller, the 21 Pilots. Is that true, or is that just an after-the-fact made-up story?
The Arthur Miller thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is derived from the Arthur Miller play. It is, you sound familiar with it, but it's basically a play where there's a guy who was manufacturing airplane parts for the current war at the time, somewhere along the way, he found out that like some of these parts were faulty, could be faulty. So he was, it was a decision basically like, should I send these parts out and risk people getting hurt or possibly dying, or do I recall the parts and basically ruin my career, change my name, etc. So he decided to end. He ended up sending out the parts, which I feel like if you don't know the ending, it's like a lot of people would probably do the same thing. It's just like, okay, well, that's a risk that we'll take to not ruin our lives or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent out the parts. As a result, 21 pilots died. At the end of the play, he actually ended up committing suicide.
Oh, spoiler! Spoiler alert,
yeah,
Josh!
Yeah, I know. It's a total spoiler. Total spoiler alert. I think we look at that, and it's kind of like how we kind of apply it. Is that every day, all of us as humans, we have choices, whether it's kind of like a moral decision or a spiritual decision or just like even the smallest things, like should I go for a walk today? Should I go to this ice cream place and gorge myself with ice cream?
And the answer to that question, by the way, is yes. You will not get a better ice cream probably in your life. It's that good. And it's all okay, like homegrown flavors and rich cream and oh my gosh, don't get me started on that.
Yeah, no, I'm going to check it out. But I think that, it's interesting because, like, it's you can look at every decision that you make and know that somewhere down the line, maybe it's like an hour later you see the effects, or maybe it's a year later, or maybe it's 20 years later you see the effects of some decisions that you make. And it's kind of crazy because, actually, you wouldn't believe how many serious conversations we've had about decisions that we've had to make along the way,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be, like a publishing or a label or a manager, where we've kind of like had these decisions of people that, we have to talk to or go with, and we look at each other and we're like, if we went with these people, it would be sending out the part. It's like, it's crazy, but it's like, relating the band name back to actual decisions that we have to make. I don't think that we would be like exactly in the situation that we're in now if we didn't have that philosophy. So it's definitely something that actually holds us accountable to a lot of the decisions that we make and a lot of things that we do.
I love the album Vessel, which came out earlier this year. We've been playing the crap out of Holding On To You, which I love, and thanks a lot. It's one of those things that I just like to yell out, Holding On To You, every once in a while, just because.
That's awesome.
But what are we gonna hear next? What's gonna be pushed? What's the next hit, you think?
Oh man, that's a good question. I think.
Or do you have a favorite? Another favorite on the album?
Yeah, I totally. I mean, it's like singles and radio. It's a weird thing to me because I feel like every person you talk to has an idea of what a hit song is.
Mm-hmm.
I think nobody really knows until it just kind of happens. So it's kind of a weird thing. I guess just to be candid with you, I think that I would love. There's a song on the record called Car Radio that I would love to have be the next single. I don't know if it's going to be able to happen or not, but if I had my choice, that would probably be the one.
I want to play a little bit of Car Radio right now for people to hear, and then we'll come back and talk about it just for a second, then I'll let you go, because you got to go get some ice cream and get on stage, young man.
Dairy and then moving around a lot.
Right,
is probably
exactly.
Me, but yeah. I'm going to do it.
All right, let's play.
I'm going to send out the parts on that decision.
Let's play a little Car Radio, then we'll come back, all right?
Cool, perfect.
I ponder of something great. My lungs will fill and then deflate. They fill with fire, exhale desire. I know it's dire, my time today. I have these thoughts, so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought, cause somebody stole my car radio and now I just sit in silence. Sometimes quiet is violent. I find it hard to hide it. My pride is no longer inside. It's on my sleeve. My skin will scream, reminding me of who I killed inside my dream. I hate this car that I'm driving. There's no hiding for me. I'm forced to deal with what I feel. There is no distraction to mask what is real. I could pull the steering wheel. I have these thoughts, so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought, cause somebody stole my car radio and now I just sit in silence.
All right, so that's a little bit of car radio. Tell me why it is that you want that to be the next one.
I think that, and there are multiple reasons. One reason, when I listen to that song, it doesn't really make sense. There's no real chorus. It's kind of just like a spoken word type of verse, kind of with like a little hip hop beat underneath it, and it's a different sounding song. And it kind of like at the end, it like transforms into this like giant dance party, which I guess would really make sense if you saw it live.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of what it is every night. Like, you know, it transforms into this thing that when you're in the room with all these people, whether it's 30 people or 6,000 people, you feel like you're a part of something that's bigger than yourself at that certain like point of the song and point of the set. And it's something that's like, man, it's just, to me, it's powerful. I think kind of like that whole idea of, I know it's going into a different philosophy, but shows in general, it's transformed from these rock gods on stage that kind of like, these are the guys that, you know, these are basically the only guys in the room where all eyes are on you,
mm-hmm.
and you're untouchable. And now I think it's kind of with a mixture of social media and all this stuff, I think people demand and expect more.
For sure.
Than just, can they, you know, people want to be entertained, people want to be a part of something, and people want to leave feeling like they experienced something very special. I think that being able to have a moment in a set where everybody's kind of doing the same thing at the same time and they're very much a part of what's going on, it's a special thing where I think it gives people, when they leave, that feeling of like, I was a part of something that was bigger than myself, and that's how I feel every night, and I get to do it every night. So I think that's a really cool thing, and not only that, but I think just kind of, if you listen to the song, I think most people can relate.
Mm-hmm.
When I drive, I turn on my radio. I constantly have to have music going, and because that's kind of like the one time you're trapped in this metal box with your thoughts. And for me, that gets difficult sometimes. It's scary to be sitting alone in silence.
With just you.
Thinking, just you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're just kind of like, you know, you're driving along. And so I think it's just a cool concept. And it's something that, going back to the live thing, it's just, you know, we play shows, it's what we do, and we interact with people and we talk to people. And it's funny how, like, after a show and talking to people, how many people will come up and just be like, that's on car radio, it's, you know, it's impactful, and I relate, and it makes sense, and I'm the same way, and that's kind of the song that typically gets the most feedback from people who are familiar with the body of work, if that makes sense.
Cool. Well, people will have that experience. You guys are going to be in Salt Lake tomorrow night at Club Sound. Tickets are available still, so people can get them. People can come and see you guys. You guys are traveling with Robert DeLong. That's got to be a pretty awesome experience as well. And we'll see you.
Yeah.
We'll see you here in Salt Lake tomorrow night. Find you guys on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, that
I say we can find you guys on Twitter and your Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. You guys do all that?
All that internet stuff. Oh. Yeah. It's, and I will say this: we try and maintain, you know, Tyler and I, all that stuff. You know, there's people who constantly want us to tweet or Instagram things for their companies or whatever, but we really try and stay on top of being personable on our band's Twitter or our personal Twitter. You don't have to follow us if you don't want to, but it's something we do.
Well, I'm looking forward. I'm going to tweet you as soon as I get done with this and save it down. I'm going to tweet you, and then you can send me the picture of you getting that ice cream.
Yes.
Done.
Cool, I can't wait.
Done. Best of luck.
Appreciate it.
It's Josh Dunn from 21 Pilots. Thank you so much, and best of luck there in Denver tonight.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
see
man.
You tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Cool. Sounds good.
You bet. Bye-bye.